I want you all to be thinking about a shepherding journey. Now, I want you to look at yourself this way. As our Savior called us and put us together, He referred often to us as a flock. He referred to us, actually called us sheep. Actually let us know that we need a Savior. And when He let us know that we need a Savior, He stretched out His arms and He said, I am He. I am your Savior. I am your shepherd. So I want you to always come to me. Come to me. Those who are weary. Don't you just get tired of life on your shoulder? Folks, don't you just get tired of something bad going on all the time? I mean, you turn the TV on and it is evil, evil, evil. And I'm talking about the news. And you don't know who to believe. And just as soon as you think you got it figured out, they lie. I want you to know there's a shepherd that I go to. You and I have the same shepherd as Christians. And He tells me and He tells you, make the journey. When you're just ready to throw up your hands and say, I quit or I give up, make the journey. The journey back to the shepherd. Lord, I need you every second of my life. I need you touching my heart. I need you touching my mind. I need you touching my body. Lord, I need you. You see, God knows everything that's going to go on in your life. He knows everything you've already done. You're not surprising God when you talk to Him and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't think for a second He didn't already know what you had done. But here's something I want you to pay attention to. He knew you were going to do it before you did it. That thing that you're sorry for. Be careful. Don't accuse Him. And said to Him, Lord, you should have stopped me if you knew it. You have perfect freedom from a perfect God. It doesn't matter what government is in charge. They cannot take the freedom you have in your relationship with your Creator away from you. They really can't read your mind. I know. You ladies think you can read your husband's mind, but you can't read all of it. You don't read all of it, and you don't try very hard because what you have read has frightened you so much you don't want to dig any deeper, right? You men squirm a lot. But that's a fact about life. God knows everything that's going on. So, okay, what's the key here? The key is I'm going to the shepherd to get peace on the inside. The shepherd is going to protect me. That's what shepherds do with the sheep, with the flock. You and I think of it this way. You know, the shepherd walking through, we see the pictures with, you know, 20, 30, 40 head of sheep, and they're walking or smaller than that. I'm talking about multiple thousands. I'm talking about there's a lot of shepherds that had thousands of sheep, thousands of herds, and they had to watch, watch, watch for the evil from the wolves on the outside, from all predators. Do you know that a sheep has no defense mechanism whatsoever? They can't fight. All they can do is bleat, baa, as they go to the slaughter. And God looks at us and he says, you don't have any defense against what Satan's going to throw after you. You're not that tough. I'll stand with Satan toe to toe. I ain't standing there with you. You better get another dumber Marine than this one. You know why? You're going to lose. You know what I'm going to do with Satan? I'm going to tell God on him. I ain't going to that door. I'm not going to get up toe to toe. He said 7,000 years more experience with human weakness than I have. He'll know where to get me. The Lord said, don't go. Come to me. Do you know a herd of sheep can't be driven like you drive cattle to the market? Can't be done. The shepherd gets in front, and because they know the sound of the shepherd's voice, they follow the shepherd. The sheep follow. Have you ever heard the statement? They follow him just like a flock of sheep falling to the slaughter. But you're following your shepherd, and your shepherd loves you. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for you to give you eternal rest. And he says to you, listen, my Father in heaven knows everything that is going on in your life and everything that will. So where's my power? Your power is recognizing the shepherd. Recognizing the shepherd. Know your shepherd. Verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now I may kick old English in on you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, or I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Meaning that he's got you. Meaning that he knows everything that is going on. Well, if he knows then, Brother Larry, why are you praying for your life or praying about the cancers that are in you? Why are you fighting? If he knows it, why hadn't he taken care of it? He's God. He's my shepherd. Folks, I'm going to follow him even though he kill me. I will follow him. I will follow him. I know his voice. His voice comes within you, does it not? Do you not know when the Lord is speaking to you? You know the difference between the Lord and Satan. You know when something's wrong, and you know when it's right. Well, you know, it just feels right. Now, you can't even get by with lying on that one. Taking something that you know is wrong and then telling everyone, well, it just felt right to me. No, it didn't. God said, I want you to know your shepherd. And your pastor says, do you know your shepherd? Who or what is your shepherd? Who or what are you following? King David is in a mess. He's an old man here. He is hurting. He sees all the sins of his past. He's looking to the depth of what's going on in his life, what has gone on in his life, all the hurt, all the pain, all the good. He sees it all. And he says to us, the Lord is my shepherd. I know him. I know who he is. And he says, I shall not be in want. God has prepared for you and for me exactly what we need. He has prepared for you and me exactly who we need in our life. You and I just need to recognize God's way for our life. And it's not the wrong way. It's not you picking your own path in life. Well, I'm going to choose this. Well, you've chosen poorly. Because, my friends, God has laid out for you a path in life, and it could take you an entire lifetime. Because of our arrogance, because of our stubbornness, to find that path. I know I'm on the right path of preaching. God called me to preach. But I was 30 years old before I got the call to preach, or before I accepted the call to preach. But my friends, every path that I have taken since I was called was not the path God told me to take. Because me, like you, so many times have gone astray. Lord, thank you for the touch. I can handle this now. You go take care of Brother Randy because he is a mess. But I got this. What happens? Brother Randy's coming along to get me out of the ditch of life. Why, dumb, Larry. What'd you do that for? Oh, I just like doing dumb things. Don't you feel that way in life? Haven't you been there? And the Lord says, know your shepherd. I know him. I know him. I know him. And he said, I'm never going to leave or forsake you. I want you to pay attention to me, Larry. You know me, then trust where I'm leading you. Trust my leading in your life. You know me, trust me. Has Jesus Christ ever done anything in your life that would cause you to distrust him? Of all the ditches of life that you keep bouncing in and out, you name one of them. Name one of them that he pushed you in. He said, I don't even tempt anyone to do evil. I will try your faith, but I'll never tempt you to do evil. Trust me, he says. You see, that's the key to living. Trusting in the Lord. Trust in your shepherd. Know who your shepherd is. All the money you have in the world ain't going to help you, folks. That's not going to help you in the end. You'll spend all of it on yourself, on health and everything else, because the VA won't. You'll do whatever that it takes to fight. You need to understand something. What you have is just enough to bless your life. Are you hearing me? Amen. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate that personality around you, all those personalities. Appreciate them in your life. Now, they're special to you. I don't have a right myself personally to quit or to give up, to sit back and say, Lord, well, I've got it. You know, that's fine. I'm just going to relax and give up. Well, for one thing, I don't have it. I can't relax. And normally when you got cancer in you, you don't relax very much. You just enjoy the eating before the treatment starts. But the thing is, I know my shepherd. And I know his leading. And he says, let me lead you. Listen to verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, you know, after the monsoon period, after the rain had come, all the grass and all just as green as it can be. Beautiful pastures. The shepherds bringing the sheep, letting them graze. You know what the Lord tells you and me? I'm going to allow you to lie down in the green pastures. It's my field. Hey, God lets me in his field. It's his grass. It's his protection. I trust him. I'm following his leadership. I will make you lie down in green pastures. I'll lead you beside still waters or the quiet waters. Do you know that a sheep will not drink in fast running water? They'll die of thirst first. They will not lean over to a running water and drink. And a lot of the shepherds would actually dam up the stream to slow down the flow so the sheep would drink. Man, sometimes we're so dumb that we don't get a good drink of water when the Lord's offering it to us. We just like sheep. You know, we're sitting there bad, wanting to know why, Lord, is all this going on? Lord, I'm starving. Well, put your head in the water and take a drink. It's the best drink of water you'll ever have when the Lord gives it to you. He said, drink. I will protect the stream that you're drinking from. Oh, gosh, what a blessing that he gives. He restores my soul. Do you ever have something on your mind, something going on in your family, something going on in your own life, something causing you problems in your own life? Have you ever paid that attention to your life? And to see all that hurt and all that is pain that is going on, and the Lord is sitting there telling you, I got you to the right stream, to the quiet stream. I'm going to restore your soul, your very being. I'm going to put you back together. I don't want you worrying about it. I am going to restore you. After all, you know, he did create you. And he does tell us stories about how that he happens to be the potter and you're the clay. And if something's wrong, he'd just remake you. The technology they have today is amazing. That's what the immunotherapy is supposed to do, is remake it. Remake what you have to clean it up, to kill the cancer. I'll let you know if that works. But you see, it is by the hand of God that you are healed. Let's say it's not cancer. Let's say it's worse than cancer. Life. Family. Woo! That's a tough one. People just getting away from the way they ought to go and falling in the ditch of life. And you're hurting on the inside. You're crying out for help. The Lord says, I will make you lie down in green pastures. I will lead you beside the quiet waters. I'll restore your soul. I'll guide you. I'll guide your paths on righteousness. Because you're carrying my name with you, the Lord says, for his name's sake. You're a Christian, Christian. Act like one. Okay, how do I act like a Christian? Cry out to the Lord. That's how. Don't fight Satan on your own, you cocky Christian Baptist. You pay attention to real life. You pay attention to real hurt. I don't need to stand toe-to-toe with Satan. Jesus already has. He kicked him out of heaven. Do you really think that he's going to let him overshadow you? You're his favorite of all creation. Your personality, who you are, God molded for you to be you. Don't you dare start changing who you are, your personality. Don't you dare say, well, I want to be like him or I want to be like her. God don't want you being like him, and God don't want you being like her. God wants you to be you. He just wants you to let him make you better. He wants you to allow him to do a great work in your life, great miracles in your life. You yourself are a miracle. Well, I don't know whether I believe in miracles, Pastor. You are one, especially with a dumb thought like that. It's a miracle you can still talk. Because what God puts together, even Satan doesn't have the power to take away from you. The only way you can lose it is to give it away. The only way I can keep love burning inside of me from the Lord is to give what love of God away. I like that new love every day that the Lord gives me. Well, what if I don't give it away? Do you know God does not waste anything? He's not going to waste grace. He's not going to waste faith. I got to get it away. And he fills my cup up over and over and over. And as a Christian, I do know this, that when you allow the Lord, when you go to the shepherd, when you take that journey, and you're at the foot of that cross, back at the one who has called you, who has touched you, who has raised you, who has healed you, who has protected you, when you go back to that cross, you got it made. Because you went to the shepherd. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. Trust him in his leadership. Expect him to protect you. This is what it's taken for you to act right. This is what it's taken for you to receive from the Lord. It's in your bulletin. Take it home with you. Look it over. Expect his protection. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, walking through it. Did you ever get afraid that you're getting ready to die? If you were in the jungles of Vietnam, you're terrified all the time. You don't know where anything's coming from. Walking through the valley of the shadow. Even the shadow of death is frightening to us. But he says, I want you to listen to me. I'm leading you. I know the journey you're on. Let's say that you're on the wrong journey. Listen to me, Christian. Let's say that you've taken a wrong path in your life. And you're walking along and you'll have some pious individual tell you, well, you know, you never expect help because the Lord ain't with you, because look at the path you're on. What do you think the Lord is? He wasn't in the temple. He was in the ditch of life. He was out there with all the sinners. He was out there with all the diseases. He was out there about his Father's business. How dare he? Well, he was even healing people. Miracles were happening. Because you're on the wrong path, don't you dare think that the Lord ain't there to turn you around. It's not that you're waiting for the punishment. It's that you're waiting inside and it's your fault. You're waiting for the turning. He will, but he'll do it with love. Well, you know, the Lord's going to kill you if you do that. I wish people would quit passing that kind of judgment. Husbands, the Lord ain't going to kill you, no matter what your wife tells you. The Lord's going to love you and lift you up and direct your life, because that's exactly what the Lord does. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That staff was used to hook a sheep, pull them back in line. That rod was a club. Yep, it was a club. I remember them, the old gang fights. They used to carry the clubs all the time, about yay long. But that shepherd was tough with that club. That lion would be one dead, toothless lion by the time that shepherd. You don't mess with a shepherd's sheep. You don't mess with my shepherd's sheep. He got a club that won't quit, the club of protection. I'm a part of the club. It's called being a Christian. I carry his name. He got the club. I got to be about my Father's business. And he tells me, this is how I hook into it. I need to accept his care. He offers it to me. Here's the protection. I'll protect you now. I want you to accept this. You prepare a table before me. Now, I do not want you to think about the Lord's Supper table. I want you thinking about that. That's not what he was talking about. They didn't use tables like we use in those days. The table actually was a flat piece of ground. They would take the sheep up to the table. They called it the table, which was the area alongside the hill or anything was solid, flat, wonderful for grazing. He'd take them to the table. And he said, I'm going to take you to the table. Oh, I got it all spread out for you. That meant anything flat was the table. I mean, he would take the sheep to that flat part, take them to the table. Good eating there. Good eating. I got supper time coming. Good eating there. Before me in the presence of my enemies. It ain't messing with the Lord's sheep when they're at his table if you're a wolf. Even they are smart enough not to mess with what belongs to God. You anoint my head with oil. That was, they actually put oil all over the sheep's head to keep the flies and all the insects out so that the sheep, oh, this is us sometime. The sheep were so, well, I'm sorry. They're just so dumb that when the flies would get in their ears, they would kill themselves beating their head against a rock to get rid of it. So the shepherd actually put the anointed her head with oil. Put that oil on it would keep that away. And it also helped with the healing of all the cuts and scratches that they may have. Do you know why the Lord, the shepherd checked them every night? To see whether or not any of them had eaten poison grass or poison weed. Man, if that does not look like us. As we go through daily activity, it's all the poison that we allow to come into our minds or into our heart or into our lungs. And God says, my cup overflows. See, this is God's cup overflowing. You are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He is allowing us, Christian, we carry the cup of love, the cup of peace, the cup of hope. We're carrying it within us. And he said, it's overflowing. I'll give it to you. Larry, I will make it overflow. My goodness, my mercy inside of you. Where's it going? On anybody that I'm around. Are you catching it? On anyone that I will take it to. I'm going to bless you so much, you're going to overflow, you're going to bubble over. I want you to take the message to the lost and dying world. And then he says, I promise you, I'm going to bring you home. This is not my home, folks. I'm just passing through. Now, you think I'm going to leave you, but I ain't. A lot of you all ain't looking so hot either. You're going to be with me pretty quick. Don't you understand that I'm talking about a creation of God who's been promised eternal life? Listen to this. Verse 6. Surely. Goodness and love, old English, I think, but goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay. The word there is actually love. Surely goodness and love. See, where there is love, all the mercy, all the grace, and all of that's involved with love. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. It's right there for my taking. It's there. But I have to accept it. Will follow me all the days of my life. Now you listen to me. Are you listening? and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
Forever. Forever. I will dwell. You and I will dwell with each other. Those who know Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a promise from the shepherd. And the shepherd never breaks a promise. Oh, I'm so blessed. And I love you. And I got news for you. You're just as blessed as me when you know Jesus. So don't you let all these distractions pull you away or give you the doubt. I don't doubt for a second. There's a battle that I'm getting ready to go through personally. I am going through right now. But I happen to know my shepherd, who he is. I happen to know and recognize the miracles that he has already performed in my life. I know them. I see them. And I am blessed because I got a lot more that's coming my way. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your love, for your touch. I will ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that as you touch our life, you will give each of us, dear Lord God, the strength, the courage, and the boldness to continue following you in all that we do. Touch us now, Father, as we honor you in the observance of the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. During this time of our service, observing the holy ordinance of the Lord's service, my friend, is a service within itself. Those of you who wish to participate, I encourage you to do so. I will also encourage you and let you know that it is very important that you understand that observance of the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper are for the Christians or those who have already accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, followed him in baptism. Because you're getting ready to recognize the body of Christ and the blood of Christ that was given for you. I will ask Brandon, Zach, Hunter, and Sky, y'all come forward if you would, please. As they come forward, they're going to be bringing to you the ordinance. I showed it to you at the beginning of the service. All you need to do is peel off the bottom, and on that bottom is your bread, and then for the top, we'll peel it off also. They're going to be bringing it. We're going down each side and all. They need to hand it to you, so allow them to hand it to you. Okay, you all know where you're going to be going. Take your baskets, please, and we will have prayer when you are ready. After you get your elements, please. On this side, yeah. They're within. Let them hand them to you, please. If any of you have any trouble, just let me know. If somebody beside you, you can. But you should not have the trouble with it. Did you all take it to the ones upstairs and all? Okay, thank you. make sure you all get one. And she go, yeah, just set it up there and take your one. Thank you, gang. Does everyone who wants have the elements? Thank you, Francis. Did you get one? Okay. I don't know. Let us remember that it was on the very night that Jesus was betrayed that directly after supper, he stood, he broke the bread, and he blessed it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the body that was broken. I thank you for allowing us to be a part of this holy ordinance. I praise your name, dear Lord God, for the strength that it took for you to stand back and withhold your hand of destruction as you saw this going on to your own son. So we cannot praise you enough, Father, but we do thank you for this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And then he said, this is my body which was broken for you. As oft as you do, do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup and he blessed it. Father, for this that represents the blood of our Savior, we give you thanks. For this ordinance, dear Lord God, for our remembrance, we truly do remember. It is through this blood that we have hope through eternal life. It is through this blood, Father, that is represented that we know that we are saved. We ask your blessing now on our remembrance, upon our life, and we praise you once again for your Son who gave it all. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask this blessing. Amen. And he said, this is my blood, which was shed for many, as many whoever accepted him, which was shed for many. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me.